You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. You can save money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Can you believe summer's here? That means baseball action daily. PharrellOnTheBench.com has you covered. What'd you say, Mafia? It was like 13 out of 15?
About to be.
All the plays, every day, every game. I mean, everything that's on the board, even boxing and MMA. I kill it. PharrellOnTheBench.com is fantastic. The best picks, the best price. Buck a day, son. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. Like tonight, if I hit 13 out of 15 baseball games, you'll want to, you know, hide all that money from your wife or girlfriend. And then for the two games that I got wrong, have me killed. Anyway. You can tell it's the dog days of summer, Carver High, when there's no ink in the printing machine. We've had the no ice. Now we got the no ink. What else do we got? We got any other problems?
Par for the course.
Par for the course.
No hot water in one of the water machines.
Is that right?
Yeah, the one closest to us.
They fixed the one water machine in the...
You can't even get water out of it.
No, that one's like a...
Forget it. I mean, the one in the kitchen, you can.
They fixed that one.
Yeah, it comes out, you know, good flow.
Well, that only took 6 months because that thing was coming out like literally like...
Oh, you mean like this one in here?
It's so bad, that one in there. You'd be just standing there for an hour and a half to fill up a cup.
Give it a week. He'll be back to it.
God, it drives me nuts. I refuse to put any water in my... you know, drink from, like, the city. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not having the Flint water. I can't have the... Mafia, do you drink tap water? Would you drink tap water here in this building?
No, I would not. No,
I would not.
I mean, I've drank it in my old place, but the new place they have, like, there's something in it that we...
You drink scotch and water is what I thought you thought I said.
Yes.
Sorry.
Scotch, whiskey.
Right. Scotch whiskey. Life.
Bourbon. Something in there.
I know you love all whiskeys and bourbons and scotches. Scotch rocks. When the Yankees visit Dodger Stadium for three games in August, they won't be wearing their road gray uniforms. Instead, the players' weekend, the Yankees will tuck themselves into black uniforms August 23rd through 25th. God, oh, when am I out there? I'm out there in late July. I wish I was out there for that, too. Dodgers, Yankees. That's as good as it gets. The Players' Weekend is a joint venture between baseball and the Players Association in its third year. Some players put nicknames on the back of their jerseys and design their cleats. It's all pretty ridiculous. Some of the highlights a couple years ago included Red Thunder for Clint Frazier, Toe for Ronald Torres, Sir Didi for Didi Gregorius, Kraken for Gary Sanchez, and All Starlin for Starlin Castro. So much for him. He's not on the team anymore. There you go. Last year's batch included GT for Gleyber Torres. This gets worse by the one. The Missile for Chapman. G for Giancarlo. And Pickles for Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray was Pickles playing for the Yankees. He was so awful. Do you eat pickles, Mafia, at all?
Yeah, I do, all the time.
I like pickles.
I love pickles. You eat them on like a hamburger.
Do you like pickles on a hamburger? Do you like relish? Because I noticed, didn't you have a party and you had relish there?
Yes, we did. I throw those on hot dogs, for sure.
I like relish on hot dogs.
If you like pickles, how can you not like relish? Just cut up hot dogs.
It is basically that, I think. So, I have the halfway point of baseball. I didn't get around this. A couple of things I wanted to hit on here in this exciting final hour of radio excellence is this thing. So I have to ask you, do you know, so Ben Ryder, our buddy Ben Ryder, Carver High, did this story, and it's about Alex Rodriguez. Is that fresh story, do you know? I think he's on the phone or something. So anyway, A-Rod, the story of A-Rod in two SI covers 6 years apart. Darren Revelle had this thing out today, and it's when the last days of A-Rod, Nothing dies pretty. Reputations, marriages, dream careers. They could sail for decades undented. Even at 38, you can be all kinds of gorgeous. But the end is pain. The pain is ugly. By S.L. Price. He did that story. Now, this story is from Ben Ryder. And it came out yesterday. The Charmed Life of A-Rod. The improbable reinvention of A-Rod. And then it talks about, this guy's sitting out at the pool on his cell phone in his, Miami-type clothing, and he's just living large with his billions. And, he's sitting there with the newspaper, the Wall Street Journal, and the business section because he's worth so much money. And we've talked about this before on this show.
Just as long as he's not kissing his reflection in the pool.
Well, listen, we have talked about this before, how incredible is it that this guy went from being the most vilified, just without a doubt, the public enemy number one. He was the most vilified guy. I mean, when they got, 400 people, wasn't it? What was it that Mitchell found? There was like 400 people. Was it 100 on the list? How many was it? There was like...
Wasn't something like the 300s?
Carver High knows better than me. Carver High, what was the number that George Mitchell came up with on the report when the only one they cared about was A-Rod, but there was like 400 names that...
Well, A-Rod wasn't the Mitchell report. The A-Rod was the...
Biogenesis.
The anonymous... No, well, that was later. The first thing with A-Rod was...
Right.
They did the anonymous testing to start this thing.
Right.
I forget what year. 03, 04, something like that.
Anonymous testing.
His name was on that list, which was supposed to be kept...
Private.
Private and sealed. There was 100 or so names on the list.
Like 108, right?
And he was on that list. And about 4 years later is when, I believe it was Sports Illustrated, I forget at the time, somebody got their hands on that list, or at least just him being on the list.
Right.
And which is, like you were just saying, I mean, what? No matter what report it is, he was the only one that, of course, gets thrown out there with
to the wolves.
What was supposed to be an anonymous list that was never to get out. Now, coincidentally, of course, a year or two later, whatever it was, David Ortiz's name was also allegedly on the anonymous list.
Right.
But he stood there at the podium and yelled at people, and it all went away. Nobody cared anymore. So, it's different for everybody, and nobody liked A-Rod at that time. And he got the business for
it. So when we've had this on the show before many times. Like, this guy's an enigma. We never stop talking about it.
It is amazing how his perception in, baseball and in everything has changed in the last five years.
What did you think of this when you saw this today when I sent this to you?
It's hilarious. I mean, it really is. And you know me. I'm an A-Rod guy. I like A-Rod.
I do, too. Are we stupid to like him?
The arc that man has had since that getting suspended for a year and not playing baseball is unbelievable. Because you remember, he came back the year after the suspension, and he had like a huge comeback year with the Yankees.
He had
like a 30 home run year.
Right.
And then the year after that, you saw the decline.
Right.
And he had to retire like in August, like in the middle of the year.
Right.
And then he becomes this like the hottest broadcaster
ever,
and he's everywhere, and he starts dating J-Lo, and he's like,
now he's getting,
everybody
now he's
loves
getting married
the guy
to her, right?
Everybody loves him. It's amazing the arc and career, and let me tell you, it's going to help him.
But do you think
when
that,
it comes
like,
to Hall of Fame
Hall
time,
of Fame.
It will help him?
But let me ask you, so he ends up the most, he is literally the most popular broadcaster now, is he not, in baseball? Like, seriously.
Guys everywhere. I mean, he does Fox. He does ESPN Sunday Night Baseball.
And he does other games, too.
Right.
So let me ask you, do you think the players, because he played and put up all these, gross stats in his career, like I said, he's like Bonds. When he first came in the league, he wasn't cheating. He was totally just a talent.
Right.
And he had more talent than anybody on the face of the earth. And he raked numbers that were just insane. Bonds was a 40-40 guy long before he did drugs and never admitted to ever doing drugs, obviously. They never busted him doing them. He just lied his way through it is what everyone thinks, right? So, but the bottom line is that they both would have been, in my opinion, Hall of Famers without the drugs. And then this guy, so my question to you is, he comes back, right, puts up all these staggering numbers, wins a World Series, everything else in 2009. And now he's this, you know, broadcaster extraordinaire in baseball. And my question to you is this. Do you think all the players that, you know, are in the league now that even didn't or did or did not play with him, do you think they all like him and respect him as a broadcaster and think that he's – do you think that they respect what he's doing, or do you think – can you believe this clown got all these jobs after he was such a criminal?
One of the things that was always said about the Yankees those last two or three years he was there, and I'm talking about the suspension the year after, was that the younger players absolutely loved Alex, and the veterans were obviously not as hot for him. We obviously know that him and Jeter didn't get along, a bunch of other guys that were on those Yankee teams. But the young players loved him. He took young players under his wing. He was really tight, like, you know, with Cano and a couple of other guys. So I feel like the younger player that's in the game right now probably likes him, and the veterans, older players or guys that have now recently retired probably don't like him very much.
Right.
But the younger players seemed to really gravitate to him. At least that's what the word was those last couple of years with the Yankees.
Right.
But but the difference also with him and Bonds and Clemens is, you know, after their stuff happened after their careers. Their careers were over. And when all the things happened with them, it was done.
It was after.
Gone, and they were gone. He got suspended. This happened during his career.
Right.
He comes back and plays again.
Missed a year.
He comes back into – he's still playing baseball after all this happened, which gave him an open
door.
They
owed him so much money, they just put him right in the lineup.
But it also allowed him to get back on the field.
And get some cred.
Play another year, which we perceive, of course, because there was a ton of testing, a clean year after that suspension, played well, and got back – you know, slowly chipped away at becoming this. And he also was a very charismatic guy, even though he lied just as much as Bonds and Clemens. But Bonds and Clemens lied, never got on the field again, and then disappeared. Now, Bonds showed back up when he was, what was he, the hitting coach for the Marlins?
Something like that.
And he shows up. They love him in San Francisco. He shows up for the Giants.
Right.
Clemens, you haven't seen that guy in forever.
Yeah.
But they're not liked. They're not likable guys. Is Bonds and Clemens ever likable guys?
No.
A-Rod is a charismatic, likable guy. I mean, a lot of people still hate A-Rod, but he gives off that.
He's going 80-20 like.
Right now.
People like him a lot more than they don't like him.
5 years ago, it was 20-80.
He is enormously famous. I mean, I'm talking red carpet fame. I mean, this guy, no matter what, they put him on every show in America. You name it. Good Morning America, Today Show. It doesn't matter.
He's everywhere.
They'll put him on everything. Literally on everything. So it is amazing. It truly is. So let me know what you think of that. But can you believe this guy's on the cover of Sports Illustrated again? They cannot get enough of this guy. It is absolutely unbelievable. So today I watched Italy win in they beat China in the women's quarters, right? And then the Dutch reached the or now is it the quarters, right? So that was it.
This was the round of 16.
This is 16. So now it's the quarters. So they reached the Dutch reached the quarter. Netherlands goes over Japan on PKs, right?
USA versus Europe. There are seven European teams and then the United States left.
So of all the teams left, let me get this straight. So these are the teams. So it's Norway, England, France against the U.S., Italy, Netherlands, and Germany, Sweden. Those are the teams, correct?
Correct. And the crazy part is that the two best teams are playing each other in the quarterfinals.
In France and the U.S.
Yeah. Germany's a really good team, too.
And do you anticipate, real quickly, that France will beat them because they'll get calls playing at home? Or do you think the ref will be legit? Because I have a feeling there's going to be bad. There are bad calls in the USA win over Spain. I thought the calls were bad.
Look, this whole entire Women's World Cup has been marred with incredibly
and
touchy
VAR
decisions
and
VAR
replay
and all that. But
do you think this game's going to come down to controversy? Because I do.
I mean, the Brazil game with France on Sunday, I mean, the calls went Brazil's way. A couple of the calls. I mean, France wasn't getting the calls on Sunday against Brazil.
Really?
I think that none of these refs know what they're doing. And honestly, anything can happen. I just think it's unfortunate that the two best teams are meeting in the quarters on Friday as opposed to either the semis or the finals.
Wow, Carver High getting involved. All right, 855-212-4227. Call the show. And we'll also talk about players that might be available at the deadline that would surprise you.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So anyway, the Dodgers began the week, this is at the start of the week, with a 54-25 record, 110-win pace. It's not quite record-breaking like they were a couple years ago when they lost, until they lost 16 of 17 late in the season, but this year's team has been incredible. Consider that in 2017, six NL teams lost 90-plus games, including the Giants 98, Padres 91. This year, only the Marlins and Giants are on a 90 loss pace. There you go. The best records after 79 games over the last 10 seasons. Some of these, it's incredible. The Twins are rewriting home run history as well. We know all that. But the Yankees are the ones that hit 28 in a row. So I don't know why anybody's worried about the Twins. First of all, the Twins don't beat the Yankees in the playoffs. We've already seen that. 2018, the Yanks were 53-26, finished 162. 2017, the Astros were 53-26, finished 101-61. 2016, the Rangers and Cubs were 51-28. Cubs had 103 wins and won the World Series. Rangers finished 95-67, lost in the ALDS. You getting the hint here? If you win all these games, you go deep. That's what it is. 2015, the Cardinals, 51-28, finished 162, lost in the Division Series. In 2014, the A's were 49-30, finished 88-74, lost the wild card game. 2013, Pirates were 49-30, finished 94-68, lost in the NLDS. Drag. Hate when my Pirates lose. They never win anything anymore in the playoffs. It's very irritating to me. You get the gist of it. Anyway, so 10 of the 11 teams played worse after their hot first half, although all 11 reached the playoffs. The Dodgers are going to win their seventh consecutive division title, and they'll break the franchise mark of 104 wins by the 2017 team. They might get to 110 wins. It really is truly incredible. And the Yankees surviving all their injuries, that's been crazy. Yelich is insane. Howie became a future Hall of Famer in 400 plate appearances. I mean, it really is crazy, but the guy has just absolutely, he's on pace for 60 home runs. He's on pace for 147 games played. And if he homers at the same rate for the rest of the season and plays every game, he'll become just the sixth player to hit 60 home runs. And the first since Roger Maris in 61, not named Bonds, McGuire, or Sosa. We all know about those three. Cheaters. Not possible. Well, consider over the last 160 games, he's hit 344, 429, 707 with 56 home runs. He has been slugging at this level for a year now. It's crazy. As for the Twins, they've belted 147 home runs. That was going into tonight. A season-long pace of 309 home runs. That would destroy the single-season mark of 267 set last season by the Yankees. But aren't the Yankees, Carver High, on a pace to shatter all that, too? I mean, you can't tell me the Yankees don't have better home run hitters than the Twins. Up and down that lineup.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the name value, sure, they have, and there's still a long way to go before the end of the season.
Ray in, sorry, I just went to him, and then he hung up. Way to give up at the last second, dude, as I was going to. You literally hung up while I was going to you. You lose. Roger in Oklahoma, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
What's going on, Sky? Let me get a Budweiser.
Cold Budweiser. All right.
All right, man. So I'm listening, and I've had this take for a while. Why I think baseball has gone down, and now I'm older and I've got kids. I'm a firm believer in people, you know, hold on to the era of what you grew up with, you know, and that just sticks with you. So my memory of baseball, I grew up my Oakland A's fan, the Bash Brothers, and of course, you know what that turns in with McGuire and Canseco, and grew up with the home run derbies, watching, you know, McGuire, Sosa, Bonds break the record. I remember it was Buffalo Wild Wings when he broke the home run record total. But now that memory is so tainted with, I can only see them, you know, testifying before Congress. And you're talking about Roger Clemens and all of them. And, you know, I remember how dominant they were and how important they were to the game. But now that I'm older and I've got a son and baseball really doesn't get into me until September now. You know, I really don't care, especially with the A's. I like their farm system, but they haven't done.
So wait, let me get this straight. You start getting into baseball just like in the last month of the season?
Yeah, towards the end of playoffs. You know, I keep attention to it. I'm a sports fan. I keep attention to everything,
right.
Even though.
But you really like it in October.
It, once it heats up to the playoffs, and, right. You know, it's just not anything like football or even basketball. You know, we've got the Thunder, you know, here. We pay attention to it, you know, a lot more, go to games. But baseball, I don't know, and everything they've gone on. And I guess my biggest reason is we have so many of sports writers that talk about, you know, you're going to keep Bonds and Clemens out of the Hall of Fame. And it just sucks because, you know, it's kind of torn apart what, you know, I grew up with as a fan. I think that's a big, for my generation, you know, it kind of just rips it out and everybody wants to forget about it. And, you know, it's tainted. And we're like, okay, but how do we get past that? It's like you said, Barry Bonds and Clemens were Hall of Famers before they ever did it. You know, it sucks that we've got to look at it, but, I mean, it's a part of your history. And everybody is a purist, and they talk about, you know, back in the 80s when the game was, you know, more pure, stolen
right,
bases,
right,
RBIs.
Right. Well, look, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, what are you going to do? I've said this 5 million times. I thought Bonds was the most exciting power hitter that I ever saw. You know, I used to watch him every night, and I hated him. I just thought he was the biggest D I ever met in my life. I covered the guy for 3 years, and he was literally the biggest jerk I've ever met in my life in any sport ever. I mean, the guy's, his head was the size of Texas, his ego. He was a megalomaniac. The guy was an absolute narcissist in the highest level. Like, he treated everyone, literally everyone, like Shaq. I mean, it was unbelievable being around this guy. But I looked all like past that, and I just watched him hit home runs and watched that eye-hand coordination and bat speed and the way that guy turned on pitches and put the ball out of the ballpark. I don't care what he was on. I mean, after a while, I didn't care what he was on because it was just so awesome watching the guy jack home runs every time he went up to the plate. And then Clemens, I'm sitting there watching this guy win, what, 7 Cy Youngs? And then at the end, they bust him. It's too late. Like, I don't even care. Like, he was so awesome and so dominant when I watched him. Like, at the point when they busted him, I didn't even care anymore. Can he wait till after I do the update? Would that be all right? Can we do that? Can you get him to wait? Tell him not to give up, though. I want to talk to him. The young gun is on the line. Unbelievable. This is a first. Has he ever called the show before? Mafia?
I think at some point he has, maybe once or twice.
He's been on the show before, but he's never – I don't know if he's called in.
He has. He's called in when he's been with, like, 34C in the car driving home and they heard it.
All right.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Well, this is a rare occurrence, right? Late night, here we go. The young gun is on the line at the Pharrella Palatial up late, hitting the PS4, apparently, working on his all-star NBA. What is the game you play, NBA 19? Like, I know I've tried to convince you to have the Iceman on your team, George Gervin.
Yeah, yeah. No, so right now, actually, as we speak, I'm playing PS4, 2K19.
Oh, so, and that's the NBA game?
Yeah, it's the NBA game, NBA 2K19. I'm playing the game mode called My Team and just taking jump shots with Curry.
So who's on your team?
So I got a starting point guard. I got Curry. He's insane at shooting three, so I gotta start him there. Yeah, you know.
Right.
So shooting guard, I got OG Raptors Vince Carter.
Right.
Insane at dunking. Small forward, I got, you know, playoff Kawhi Leonard from the Bucks series.
Right.
Unstoppable. He stops everyone. No one can score on him.
Right.
You know, power forward, I got Spicy P. In that mid-range shot, hitting those threes for me when I need him to, and I got...
Who is that?
Spicy P, Pascal Siakam.
Oh, Spicy P.
That's his nickname.
Is that what they call him?
Yeah, Spicy P.
All right.
Okay, center, I got OG Kings, DeMarcus Cousins.
You like Boogie.
That's the one where he's all crazy, and he's the one always yelling at refs.
Right. The technical machine when he played with Sacktown.
Yeah, when he had no help.
All right.
So backup point guard or sixth man, I got 98 overall, Team USA, Magic Johnson.
Oh, sweet.
Shooting guard, I got from that destroying game against the Nuggets, I got C.J. McCollum.
Now, that was a good game.
He went off that game. Then I got, you know, Jordan's little shadow guy, Scottie Pippen at backup small forward.
That's nice.
I don't know if you know this guy, but you know Antoine Jamison?
Of course.
My backup power forward.
Mafia.
Last night, Rick Smith.
Oh, Rick Smith. Rick Smith is kind of soft. Your boy, Mafia, drinks a lot of Jameson. I just wanted to say that. I keep a bottle of Jameson at the house at all times for your grandmother, too. She loves her J-Mo and ginger and potato chips. Tell them, Gunner.
Oh, yeah, she does.
She likes hitting that whiskey?
100%, yeah.
So let me ask you this question. Do you like it? You like it in the summer when you don't have to go to bed, apparently, because last night you were up at 3:30 in the morning when I got home. You were rocking with energy.
Oh, yeah, and then I wake up at 1 o'clock the next day.
So what is the deal with you just graduated from middle school, and you're going to high school now, and so you sleep till 1, 2 o'clock every day, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So I got – I went – today, 34C went to the store, and she brought back, you know, groceries. There was like 1,000 bags of groceries, and I went to get Gunner out of bed to help me, and when I walked in his room, he was – just snoring and passing gas, and I didn't wake him up because I just thought to myself, man, back in the day when I used to rip chodies and sleep all day, it really was nice when you just sleep till 1 or 2 o'clock and have no care in the world, right?
That's the move, sleeping all day. Going to bed late, sleeping all day.
So what do you think of the Steelers without your boys Bell and A.B.?
I mean, obviously, I don't think we're going to be, like, talent-wise, I don't think we're going to be as good. But I feel like all that drama might get everyone like a little bit of a, like a kickstart, and everyone might be better because they don't have to deal with AB crying or Le'Veon wanting more money.
Who's your favorite player, Connor or Juju?
You know my favorite player is Juju. You already know that.
So do you like the Pirates' Vasquez, their closer? With he's been pretty good with a 2.12 ERA, and he closed the door on the Padres over the weekend in the sweep.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the Pirates next. He's good. He's one of our, like, three, four good players. And he's a closer. He's got, what, like 17, 16, probably 18 saves?
What's it like for you to be a Pirate fan wrapped around all your loser friends that root for the Yankees and Mets?
Every single time. Like, I could say, well, Josh Bell, best first base in the league. That's a fair statement. He's got the best numbers, most RBIs, most extra base hits. You know, he's hit 20-something home runs, I think 20 exactly. So I bring that up. I'm like, yo, Josh Bell's better than everyone on the Yankees. They're like, oh, they don't know what to say. Yeah, they're like, oh, we have 27 World Series.
So where do you think these guys are all going? Let's start with Durant and Kyrie.
I got Durant. I got to go to the Knicks. If he doesn't go to the Knicks, he's going to the Nets, though.
So Nets for Kyrie and Durant together in a package?
I think it's like a higher chance Durant goes to the Knicks, but I definitely think Kyrie's going to the Nets.
What about Butler? Do you think they're going to do a deal with him to play in Houston with CP3 and Harden? And those two don't even get along. How are they going to have another guy trying to mooch shots off of Harden who never gives anybody the rock?
I don't know if I like that, and I don't think the Sixers will either. I don't think, since like you said, they're going to have to get Clint Capella and Eric Gordon. Gordon's old. He's a good role player, you know, and all. He's decent. He's a good shooter. And then there's Capella, who's young center, but they already have their young center for the future.
Do you think that Kemba goes back to Charlotte, or does he go to Boston or Dallas?
Well, he said today that he wants the max if he's staying in Charlotte. There's no way he's taking any space for any other players. He wants the 5 years.
Oh, I thought he said last week he'd take a pay cut to stay in Charlotte.
That's what he said at first, and today he changed his mind. Now he wants the 5-year, $221 million.
So then who's better prepared? I don't think Charlotte wants to give him that. I think Boston would, because they just lost Kyrie.
I don't think he's worth 200. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good scorer. But I don't think he's worth $221 million like I would give to Durant or something.
Do you think D'Lo will stay with the Nets or end up like in – you think he's going back to the Lakers?
I think so. If like everything works out money wise, salary cap wise, and the Nets can't re-sign him with the match.
So what did you think of the deal that the Lakers pulled off for AD and what the Pelicans haul was?
I think in my final thoughts of that trade that the Pelicans destroyed the Lakers on that trade. I think the amount of assets they got with the first round picks and the young stars in Lonzo and Ingram and the really good player in Hart, I think it was just way too much for the Lakers to give up just for one player. They literally have Kuzma, they have LeBron, they have Davis, they've got no one else. They got three other players and they're no names. There's Isaac Bonga, something like Jaramaco or something, I don't know, and some other guys.
Do you think he'll ever beat me in one-on-one? I mean, because it's not looking very promising for you.
I mean, yeah, once I shoot up, I'm taller than you, and you're all scared, and I just dunk in your face.
So you want to be like 6'4 or 6'5, like mafia size, and then dunk in my face and hang on the rim.
What about him, too?
You want to dunk on mafia, too?
Yeah.
See that, mafia? Do you see these young hooligans?
Little punk, he's gonna dunk on
punk things. Ass coming in with his, I'm going to dunk in your face.
Oh, I'm going to dunk all in your grill.
Were you surprised that I went to your graduation and not to my championship game?
I told you to go to the game.
You told me to go play in a game. It was 34C that ruined it for me.
Yeah, it's her fault, honestly.
It is her fault. And then were you surprised that I went to spend 4 days with TR in his current state of strokeness?
I would have went too, but it was the end of school and the end of the year. All my friends are leaving.
Where are you?
I'm going to go see him soon, too, and go to a Pirates game.
Where do you want to go to college, Gunner, now that you're going to high school? It's close, right around the corner doing push-ups. You'll be driving soon and then going to college and getting girlfriends and getting in trouble.
Well, I still have 4 years of high school to do. I will be driving in 2020, if that scares you at all, technically. I am able to get a permit then. But college-wise, I think some of the top colleges I'd like to go to, probably Miami, maybe Indiana. I don't know, following your footsteps a bit.
Whoa, going to go to the Hoosiers. Did I hear that right? I think I did. He might even go to Bloomington in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I said that right, Indiana.
You would love it there.
Is it cold there?
Yeah, it can be cold, but it's not like, it's fairly mild. It is in the Midwest, though, so it is, they do get cold weather, they do get snow, but not tons of it.
But I think at the moment the ultimate goal is probably Miami, down in Florida, the heat.
Right. And then you could go watch, and not only go to Miami and be a Canes fanatic, but you could still go watch the Heat.
Oh, God, I'd rather watch the Dolphins.
They're both awful.
No,
I like them, though. I like going to Heat games.
I like Pat Riley. That's about where it ends.
I don't even think, but Pat Riley will be around when you go to Miami in 4 years. I really don't. I think he'll be done.
I like Spoelstra, and I like their draft, Tyler Herro. But
I think Riley's already, like, isn't he, like, 75? He's old, man.
You're saying he's going to die in 5 years?
No, I just don't think he'll still be in the NBA. I think he'll walk away one of these days soon.
That's up to him.
As an executive, he's old.
He doesn't have to do much, though. He just really just makes the big moves.
It's true. Well, it's great to know that you're still up late partying and you called the show. You guys heard the show tonight out driving around, huh?
Yeah, well, we were so – it's like picture this. Oh, it's like 11:15. I come downstairs. I'm like, Mom, I want Domino's. She's like, okay, give me a minute. So I'm like, I'm waiting there. I'm listening to music on my phone. I'm waiting. She stays on the phone for like 35 minutes. At this point, I'm like, I got to go tell her to get the pizza, order it. She calls the place like 11:50, and she's like, do you guys deliver? And the guy's like, no, it's too late. So I think on weekends, Domino's, the place we got the pizza from, that's when it's open 24
right,
hours.
Right,
it was not.
But you guys went to pick it up, and it was still open.
So we were like the last people there. We got there at like 11:55. They just made our thing for, which is really nice because they didn't really have to.
That's awesome.
Closing. And I, in the car, I don't know, I'm sitting there. I'm kind of hungry. So, you know, I eat 16 garlic knots, and I get in the house, and there's none left. And I'm like, oh, boy, what do I do? So then I just go on to eat the pizza and the lava cakes because, you know, I was hungry.
What do you think he sounds like? Does he sound like he's getting a deeper voice, making some progress here, Mafia? What do you think?
I do think that, yeah.
He's starting to, you know, develop a little bit, turning into a man.
Starting to develop a little bit, coming red.
Now you're sounding ridiculous. I got to go.
I'm sounding like you. Okay.
All right, later.
See you, dude.
There he is, the young gun. Very popular. The NHL schedule came out. Carver, I will have to do that tomorrow.
Yeah, nothing too big, nothing crazy.
And then Jack Hughes chose number 86.
Good for him.
There you go. I know you're not rooting for him over in New Jersey. Another local star that Carver High wants no part of. He's not interested in the Rangers or Devils' progress whatsoever. And one last note here. It says breakdancing will be in the 2024 Summer Olympics.
I wish we had more time for this because I really can't believe that this is going on.
So I should save that for tomorrow.
They don't even have baseball back in the Olympics, right? But we're going to put breakdancing in?
Breakdancing in the Olympics. I have seen it all. All right, we'll see you tomorrow night at 10 for Carver High and the Notorious Mafia. I'm Pharrell. Good night, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.